Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, many years ago, no later than 1999, I was telling you about the Kauffman Foundation. I was mentioning to you about the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation and what they do and how they study entrepreneurship around the world. I was talking to you about the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. And if you remember, many of you who were listening back in those days will remember that I was talking about their research of the 10 top most industrialized nations in the world and how the entrepreneurial soil was in those countries, and that Japan was last and the U.S. was first. And all, if you remember, now you're probably picking up on some memories there of what I've been talking about. And as you know, I reference that all the time on the show because I think that's breakthrough research that they did. Well, and of course, we've had a number of the Kauffman Foundation folks on the show over the years. We have a new friend I want to introduce you to. Her name is Lisa Mitchell. She's the director of the Kauffman Foundation's programmatic initiatives focusing on the area of technology transfer and commercialization. She's our new friend. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. It's always a pleasure to have anybody from the Kauffman Foundation on the show because I really admire the work that you do. I admire Mr. Kauffman's world, his life, and the contribution that he made. And it's just a wonderful story, the Kauffman story.
Yeah, we think so too.
Lisa, one of the things that I said earlier in the segment, the previous segment before you got here, was essentially that I consider technology transfer to be a kind of a sleeper opportunity. It's a sort of a best kept secret that's lying out there, in some cases lying fallow for small businesses. And I really think, and I want you to help me develop that message during our visit. But what I'd like for you to do first is give us your definition of technology transfer.
Well, that's funny that you put it that way, because utilizing the words technology transfer, as we've done our research in the last couple of years, is really part of the problem. The assumption is that technology transfer means that you are transferring something from one entity to another. And as you know, in the startup and growth of new businesses where ideas are created and grown, just transferring them from one person to another doesn't work.
Right.
So we have begun really talking about this more in the realm of moving innovations to the market. And our interest in this area, you call this a sleeper opportunity. We call this a gateway opportunity. We believe that this is truly a gateway to entrepreneurship, both in the area of starting and growing, starting new businesses, as well as acquiring innovations from universities or other research institutions to grow current small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure take your meaning, and I agree that the words we use are very important to the success of the things that they describe, aren't they?
Yes.
And technology transfer, it's never been problematic for me. I've never really had a problem with it, but I can understand how some people might. And I just like the term commercializing a new developments and innovations, and you know, small business owners can understand that.
Yes.
They understand that kind of language for sure. And when you think about what I was saying also, Lisa, was that a lot of the people who are developing these new innovations and these new technologies and these new products, that's all they want to do is to find new things. They don't really want to turn them into commercial applications. Many of them, do they?
No, and clearly that's part of the problem or opportunity, however you want to view it. Obviously, this is not a new area. The words technology transfer or moving innovations to the market is not something new. But frankly, the boundaries have become much more distinct between those that are creating the innovations and those in the commercial marketplace that are looking to acquire the innovations, mm-hmm. for a number of reasons. The reasons vary from an increased number of individuals located at these institutions, whether they be universities or research institutions, who are in the role of what is called technology transfer office, which translates in many cases to those that are protecting and commercializing the innovations for the university. And that means various things depending upon the various university.
Right.
The other reason that this has become increasingly complex is literally because the fields have become more complex with the advent of genomics and the convergence of different scientific fields, the ability to define when you have actually created an innovation that can be commercialized has become increasingly difficult. And we're literally looking to individuals who are sitting within universities to have this commercialization knowledge similar to what you see in the venture capital industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally not there in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that that all of us can identify with, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure that when we talk about this, that we make sure that we include, we bring everybody into our tent, and
right.
And we all know about all the products and all the innovations and all the ways our world has been improved by space exploration.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at all the, I mean, of course, the classic one is Tang, right?
And, right.
And then there's a bed system, a sleeping system out there that people are selling that was supposedly developed for the astronauts, and Teflon and plastics and all kinds of different things that were developed specifically for the space industry. But now somebody picked it up and has made it into a consumer product. But what's happened in the past, it seems to me, Lisa, and you correct me if I'm wrong, most of us have thought about only big businesses taking those technologies and transferring them to the retail market. But in the 21st century, it doesn't have to be that way, does it? Small businesses can certainly take advantage of this.
Absolutely. If you look at the numbers of licensed innovations coming out of just universities, about 50% of them are licensed to individual, literal startup organizations or small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So this is happening more and more frequently as small businesses are looking for opportunities to increase their growth by acquiring innovations.
Right. Lisa, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. And folks, when we come back, I want Lisa to talk to us about some places where small businesses gather. They actually kind of gaggle up to literally be near each other and to be near the innovation. And it's like a big community. And we're going to talk about that right after these messages. You can find one of those yourself 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Brassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And Lisa Mitchell is our guest and our new friend, but she won't be a new friend for long. Right after she leaves us today, she's going to become instantly an old friend, and we'll get her back on the show to talk with us some more. Lisa, I want you to give us the website at Kauffman, because and I have a reason, well, many reasons, but one is because I want them to know about your site and what you guys do, but I have something else I want to talk about. Give us the website, please.
www.kauffman.com.
And that's C-A-U, two Fs, M-A-N.
Yes.
I'm sorry, K-A-U.
K-A-U.
F-F-M-A-N. I knew that. I'm looking at the K, calling it a C. How about that for some kind of weird dyslexia? Kauffman,
right.
K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N.com, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's .org.
It's .org. Okay. All
yes.
Right, .org. We'll get it right in a minute, folks.
Okay. And we have, you might also want to be aware, we also have the entrepreneurial website.
Right.
Which is entreworld.org.
Entreworld.org. We got that
right.
One right the first time, folks. So, all right. Well, the reason I wanted you to know about Kauffman.org is because at the top right, you'll find the 2003 Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. And that's the new version of the one I told you about in the beginning back in 1999. And the headline of this is, folks, that more than 80% of entrepreneurs worldwide expect to create jobs. And there's a lot of good news in that report. Even it's a 2003 report, but it's just out now. And so I encourage you to go there and read it. It's not really all that long, so it won't take you long to read it. So go to Kaufman.org and do that. Now, Lisa, let's talk about the groups, the gaggles, the coveys that I was talking about as we went to the break. They're incubators, folks, business incubators. Some people call them entrepreneurial centers. But business incubators is where people get together and share facilities, share services, and share encouragement and energy with each other to incubate businesses and then to grow out of the incubator facility and move on. Well, there are a lot of them, and you've heard me talk about these before. You've heard some of these people who are in these incubators on my show many times. Some of them are related and are basically technology transfer centers, aren't they, Lisa?
Yes, they are.
And they're many times they're associated with universities and research organizations, but many times they're not.
Yeah, that's correct. The interesting thing to note about incubators, and you talked about the hubs of innovation, I think we view this in two different ways. One, you can view hubs of innovation as places within the United States that are viewed as the hubs to start up and grow new businesses, meaning the numbers of startup companies are the greatest, which in the past has been the Silicon Valley area and the Boston area. And if you look at those two parts of the country, neither one of them have very many business incubators of any kind.
That whole region is kind of is an incubator, isn't it?
Exactly, and that is my point. But you can look at other parts of North America and find many, very many successful incubators in the Atlanta region, around Georgia Institute of Technology, in the Alabama region, up in Montreal is the most successful, I believe, received the Incubator of the Year Award last year for a life science incubator. So there are many incubators that are very successful, but the interesting thing to note is most of them are located in places which wouldn't be viewed necessarily as a hub of startup activities. And so that tells you what's important within that incubator are the linkages, the support services, the ability to access capital, the ability to access mentoring services,
right,
and individuals who have expertise in the specific area where you're trying to move your innovation to the market.
Well, and not only customers, but also vendors, people who can support you, because as you know, more and more people are not so broadly integrated anymore.
Absolutely.
We're you know, my company is a classic example of that. You know, we make payroll for a lot more people than we help to make payroll for a lot more people than we have under our roof, and a lot of companies are doing that. Lisa, help us. Let's break this down into real simple terms. How's the best way for a small business? Let's say they're saying out there, okay, we get it. How do I start? Where do I go? What do I do?
Well, in many cases, I hate to tell you this, but it depends. It depends on the kind of innovation that you're moving to the market. But classically, the most important thing for the innovator and the CEO looking to start up a company is, first of all, to find other experts in their field and literally attach themselves to those experts in the field to move their innovation forward. The product development cycle is the most important one to understand first. Putting together that business plan, feasibility study, et cetera, the Kauffman Foundation supports a program that's disseminated across the country called Fast Track. And Fast Track is a very well broken down model that helps someone move from literally the stage of, do I have the capability as well as the innovation to start up a company, to what are the feasibility, what is the market assessment, et cetera.
How can we find out about Fast Track?
You go to our entreworld.org website.
Okay. entreworld.org website, and they can find out about Fast Track and a lot of other things, I'm sure, on technology transfer. Lisa, we got a lot more things to talk about. Will you come back and do this again?
I sure will.
I had fun. I hope you did.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend Jim Ostroff after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Every night I had a stranger's dream.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.